do a breakout session now, and it's focused on unemployed or underemployed workers in allied health. So I would love to have you guys kind of join that conversation.
Sure.
So that you guys can talk about, well, what are those, what does that look like for people in your area, and how, what are some of the strategies maybe that they've used that they can help mentor you in relationship to when you go back, how do you address those, or give them ideas as well.
Yep.
So I'm going to turn it over to the facilitators again. To
Sue, can I just say something?
Yes.
I am so impressed in what you guys have done in 6 months. How did you do that? I know you don't have time to go into that, but I'm...
Thank you. Well, I hired... It's all about people, and I hired Keith, and I hired another woman by the name of Nita, and those two, I mean, heavy lifting got this off, and then we hired the rest of the team in December.
You can
sit
down. So this is exactly what I want to happen, this dialogue. They've done it in 6 months. Wow. Look at what they've done already in 6 months. And I know you guys have in your back of your mind about sustainability, too. And as I said, there are so many different directions for sustainability. I mean, they had a progressive mayor talking to their president going, what can we do? You know, and realizing the importance of the roles and responsibilities that they have to make all of that happen. So I'm leaving it to you. Facilitators.
That was amazing.
Mm-hmm.
It was absolutely amazing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just going to real fast to make sure we're all clear on everybody knows the definition of allied health, what professions fall under allied health. Anybody?
I don't know.
That's
all. I have
the list. Basically, it's pretty easy. Anything basically outside of nursing, CNA is though, so don't let me confuse you that. Nursing, pharmacy, and medical doctor. Those are basically everything else is allied health. So.
And dental.
And dental, yeah. You're right, absolutely right. So we just wanted to make sure that everybody was on the same page that way. Because what Nancy just talked about was their CNA, which is a allied health program. So go ahead, Ms. Lynn.
Cool. So, again, the idea of having us as the objective. Where did my balls go?
Who's got them?
You got
them? Yeah. You haven't met that
yet.
Okay. Oh! That was close.
We're going to get a little bit of balls. There's no
eye contact there.
We watched each other grow. is during these pauses that we have in between speakers, is that it'll give us time to make connections, not only in our brains and the synapses after lunch and a food coma sets in, but also to help each other out in making those connections and reflect a little bit. So that was going to be one of our main guiding questions for this session, was to really help us get the takeaways from your presentation and your program, and ask you all to reflect on how could it look, how is it looking, what are the possibilities of it looking in your program. Is there anything from that model that you could regurgitate?
Keep your eyes on.
So we're talking about what Keith and you took that name tag already.
Nancy.
Just presented. How could we use Nancy? Thank you, Nancy. How could we use that?
Yeah.
Understand?
And Lavona, think about it too. So now we know that there are indeed programs that recruit unemployed and underemployed, specifically for allied health. What can we learn from what we know about that program now to incorporate it into our own?
I think, I don't know that I trust those.
Now you're looking, though.
So I think what reminded me again and again is that whole difference of middle class and lower class, or who are really the stakeholders and the people that you really need to find, because we think it's our other social service partners, and it's not always those people, because how many of our underemployed, depressed people are going to go walk into their workforce services for something where it's the librarian that maybe is in the children's floor who really knows those families that are struggling or that could really recommend some people of the program? If you're really looking for that underemployed, am I making any sense?
I think
it's
so.
Like who in the community is really in the know to talk to about the referral? Who's going to really refer them? We can refer with our social work, social service hats on, but we don't really know when it comes to those populations or some of those people who maybe have really wanted to get in a different career, but they're not going to go to the middle-class white person in the office.
But they might go to that connector or that,
right.
The ITK, the in the know.
And have you done any recruiting for these populations yet?
No. And it's, part of it is a past life job that I had of going back to this of, oh, yeah, well, I need to remember that.
Mm-hmm.
But it is then talking, and it's those referrals that the successful grad is going to do to bring in the other people that she knows to say, look, it's a safe place. You can do this. They're going to help you and not just treat you like a number and check the boxes to get through their program to get the food stamps.
Right. And just kind of heads up, we are going to hit this need at the very end. So maybe while you're just sitting thinking, what do you need to make everything possible? Where are you finding disconnects? We want you guys to kind of come up, just brainstorm what you need.
Okay? And we'll do that at the end of
the
today.
In the very end.
Yeah.
So
it's going to like the churches that maybe they would know and some of those other people that don't really fit into it. Government funding source or something.
You mentioned shelters.
Yeah.
So it's not waiting for them to come to you, but you going out and talking to people to find them to go to, and then you have to go to them.
Well, and to the point, I mean, so as we're, it's taken a while for this to take hold with our community partners, and communication is key. So Dress for Success is one of our partners that helps with outfits for the women. They hold a Friday workshop. We went and conducted a Friday workshop. We got like 15 referrals from them.
Wow.
Well, as they so they came to us and we started the process. Well, then we communicated back to them how everybody did and who didn't show. And that was key because now they're like, thank you. Because the ones that didn't show, they were going to follow up with. The ones that did, they were eager to know how they made it. So it takes time, but it's building that. If they're going to refer them, what happens? Now we're trying to do that with our WIB. Yeah, exactly. With our WIB partner, people are let's just say our WIB doesn't have a great reputation in our community, and yet that's one of the referral points. It was one of the people I was told you will work with them, and oh yeah, you're going to pay them some money too. They have 13 million. Oh, you won't go there. But no, they're not getting back to the people that are referring. So we had a conversation this week about how do we help you go, if somebody refers to you, they want to know, because if they're coming from a settlement house, if Joe isn't ready to go on to Fast Path, what to tell Joe? Because they want to follow up with Joe and continue to work with Joe, so it's building.
So it's making those partnerships with other entities and having that total
connection. And connectivity and accountability to each other.
And everybody wanting that accountability.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I'm just wondering if all of us fall into kind of a dichotomy between middle class and lower class, and I'm just wondering if we can maybe begin to reframe it in terms of strategies of survival that can work in certain environments and not in other environments. And that we're not giving people the credit for actually figuring out the strategies that they've used that have enabled them to get as far as they have. And then how can we maximize those skills and use it in a new environment rather than it's so much of a class. And of course class falls into it and culture in many ways, but what's going on in their communities that these strategies, you know, and I'll just give you an example. When I was working in the city health department, we had people at child health clinics, and one of the problems were the parents kept pushing and from the line, and they came from the former Soviet Union, and we had to realize that the only way that they thought they could get service was, in fact, they pushed from the line, and that we had to retrain the staff that this was a survival skill, and that they needed to let them know that if they came in the door, that they would be seen, and that there was going to be enough food, so to speak, for them. So I think if we can kind of think in terms of strategy, because I think then as coaches, we can kind of build on that rather than feel like we're having this total cultural kind of thing. And picking up, I think, a lot of your sensitivity is you're really talking about strategies
right.
that people have.
And that transferable skill.
Exactly.
Right.
Applicable.
They can probably solve like nobody's business.
Yeah, right. Exactly. When you know, we're talking about this person, I mean, how many of us could do what she did? Or even negotiate a system just, you know, and wait in the cold.
Right.
Yeah.
And uncover those hidden rules.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. So if we were to do a brain dump real fast, where else would we find the in the nose?
With partnering with community health workers and community activists,
okay.
Public health system.
Okay. Who would be your connector too? Those would be partners, but where else would you find those in the nose? Churches and shelters is what we have so far.
Some of your schools, well, your schools and your public health centers.
The centers themselves?
Yeah. Community health centers.
Uh-huh. Community and agencies.
Legal aids.
Okay. Now we're talking.
Settlement houses.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And there was a great project around AIDS in New York City called, I think it was called Black Pearls, and the health educators went to the beauty shops.
Yeah.
Because
they
that's where
yeah.
the community
yeah.
was.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
in the laundry mat. So mm-hmm. that's where you'll find people. It's, you know, it's in our relatives. So mm-hmm. just
I do a lot of my best networking at coffee houses. Starbucks,
oh,
sorry.
Coffee shop. Holy.
Oh, you blow with your own ceramic and get $1.66.
I was thinking where they have the they serve food. You know, food pantries, things like that.
Sure.
Friday food banks. I don't know if they have
those.
Yeah,
yeah.
Food banks.
Thrift stores. No,
I mean Friday food banks
kids
are like when they send
thrift
food home with kids.
Wow.
The bank food.
Yep.
And I mean, if you think about it, in things like that, where they send something home with the kids, you could stick a flyer in there.
Right.
Well, this is also not only your in the nose, but also your marketing strategies.
Right. Exactly. Yeah.
Well, and one of the things we're doing too, because of the work we're doing with the high schools. We're going to parent-teacher. So we've got a big project going on with five inner-city high schools to connect career pathways from high school to college. They've asked us to come to the parent-teacher meetings because there many of the parents of these inner-city children don't have jobs.
Right.
So we're going to those to help get the parents into something that will...
And who was it? Was it you that was working with Head Start? And mm-hmm. so they have that component. I'm hoping that'll pan out.
And that is a great idea. I taught in an inner city school for 4 years, and so I saw that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's a great idea. Set up a little booth, and that's great.
Do any of you ever feel like utilizing some interns or some grad students or students, maybe even a bachelor's program student who needs hours for particular things, and you can utilize them as your pawns, if you want to think about it that way? Then you're kind of creating this partnership with the university college, but also engaging that student in this experience. And then it wouldn't have to be you doing it.
Yeah. I'm even thinking like psychology students where they're actually creating a paper on that experience. So they're getting a grade and you're working with the faculty to actually create that connection.
Yeah. So that could be a step before you get to the in the nose.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, and Lauren mentioned interns, but even, I mean, we talk about cultural awareness and cultural competency. That's what our healthcare workers are learning. So it might, you know, might be good for somebody in an LPN-RN program
mm-hmm.
to take another look at the cultural competency in a different way outside of healthcare
and into social.
Right. And also, the other part of it perhaps is getting administrators who are the heads of these departments to have the speakers talk to them about what the process was like, so that that's where they get to change their policy.
They go to the beauty shop. Can you imagine taking the VP of a human resource?
I would take them out for a day.
Totally.
Well, I got even in your student services office or whatever it's called, if the students who don't pass that entrance exam, mm-hmm. so they're not making it in to the regular class.
We, just because of HITLP kind of born out of the workforce side, there is still that strong partnership, if you go across. You know, not just like that in your college, but our college has the workforce side and the real side of campus where we actually get credits or whatever. But there is that, you know, keep working your way up and in through our program and go part-time because we're moms or we're dads and we get it. It's not possible to always go full, you know, go to work full-time. So keeping that partnership alive with the workforce side, they can do a lot.
You totally described such an incredible block. Just then, I heard you say that there's one part of the campus that's for academics, and there's another part that's for work.
Right, and they don't understand that they're both valuable, and this part is probably making more money than the one that's paying.
Oh, for sure. And that in itself is the biggest barrier.
Yeah,
that means the accountability, the relevance, the connectivity will never happen, because when we go to this side of the campus, we only do this, and when we go to this side of the campus, we only do that, and neither one.
That's actually changing, and it comes from the top, that it's changing. We have not changed, but I laugh, because I came out of the private sector and then was at United Way and then came here. And my first month at the college, I'm on the workforce side, and I meet one of the chairs, and, you know, what I tell him what I'm doing, oh, your workforce. And it was just like, and it was just, you know, and I'm just chuckling, because there was this divide. Now, with the new president and new, with lots of things going on, they're starting to come together and realizing we need, it's both and, not either or, but it's
going to be a great journey.
Yeah.
No, that's really great, because we see that all the time. Oh, you're tech ed.
Oh, yeah.
You're tech ed. And the climate is changing in different states. Colorado, we're still a little bit behind the eight ball there, but it is... Perceptions are changing, so.
It's good that our president actually came from workforce.
Yeah.
That's the reason why there is that change.
Huge change. Yeah. So what other aha moments did you have when you were listening to Nancy and Keith?
I did have one. I don't have the balls for it, though.
That's close.
Pre-existing condition.
I was going to say, could you explain that?
No, but just in working with, you know, your student that through an HR screener is being tossed out because this looks like unstable. I mean, it's an inappropriate conclusion that they came to, but the advocacy for it is, you know, for most of us that have, you know, a different skill set or come from different learning experiences, I was never expecting to have an advocate, but yet someone did advocate for me to get my first IR job because somebody knew somebody in the informal job market. Don't most everyone? Everybody could benefit from something like that. So, you know, going to bat for it is just so above and beyond anybody's, like, expectations. I was just like, wow, they're really trying with these people.
And in fairness, you know, Nationwide, so they get, you know, they, and I don't, hey, you know, this is what happened. What do you, you know, what do you think? And so I'm not like,
oh, sure,
in the thing. But they're getting what...
But their assessment is flawed.
Yeah.
And I think there's something to be said for...
And it's a huge...
You make the wrong conclusion. So have you thought about these other things? And maybe you should be looking at other applicants the same way that, you know, it's a sign of something, but does it mean instability? So you don't have the rest of the story.
Yeah, I mean, that goes... I mean, you know, all the social capital and whatever, and social networking. I mean, mm-hmm. when you think... of your first job, how did you get it? Most of us, it's because somebody that we knew and we had a tie-in. So if you don't have that social capital in your community, you need others. And so, you know, I mean, it takes a change of how to message that everybody got their first one up because of somebody else. you happen to be using the workforce center, I use my own phone. But it's basically the same. But you know, if you can't walk in most cases without it.
So the other purpose of the ball is to make sure everybody gets a voice, even though you're not holding them. So we got to make sure that people speak up. Jenna.
I'm just going to turn
it. I am a guest here, and I come from the Workforce Center. And a lot of the things that she talks about in defense of the Workforce Center, we do. It all depends on the career counselor, the career coach. I mean, I'm a business development person, but I started as a career coach, and I would always go above and beyond for my customers. But one thing that you said, I don't understand this divide, that this side of the world is the workforce center world, and this side is the academic world. Talk to me about that. I don't understand that.
Even in OJC, I refer every one of my CHEO students to Colorado Workforce, and then so that I can follow up on it and see what they need more as a partnership, I call and I say, hey, can you tell me, did Jose show up down there? And then I said, I'm sorry, that's confidential information, we can't tell you. I said, well, I referred him. I said, and I want to know what more can I do, or how can I get him down there if he didn't? And they're like, sorry, we can't tell you anything. And I never, ever got a single word, never once, back from Colorado Workforce when I, or if I got a referral from him. And stuff. It's kind
so
of
it's
their
not
work
on your campus.
Ours.
It's just you're talking about ours.
Right, ours is not on our campus like their workforce is, and stuff. And if they come to campus, it's they do their thing. So if they do work, and they do workforce readiness skills training,
right.
But we can't tap into that. I mean, and we're not told when. I mean that we're not told when it is. We're not anything. It's just it's the, if you're going to do their world, you do their world. And then when you come to our world, even if you already had it there, because we don't know, you have to repeat it with our world. We
right.
have to do that partnership to get it all.
It's that local control, because, you know, obviously your workforce center has
well,
its boundaries.
Kind of freak.
You know, and we have our boundaries, but I seem to have a pretty good relationship with Red Rock.
Right.
So that's why I'm wondering. I mean, I'm hearing and learning all sorts of new, issues.
There's the
out
WEA,
there.
And I keep saying, give me something specific. Because they're always like, we don't get enough students on WEA. And I said, give me something really detailed that I can give them that tells them how. And they said, well, we can't put it in writing.
And that's not how WEA works. So
how do you
I'm
want me to
that.
Encourage students to apply for it? And stuff. And so then they're just getting word of mouth from another student that says, oh, my heavens, the amount of paperwork you have to turn in is not really worth it. Especially when you're in the middle of a heavy semester and it's just too much. And so we get a lot of students who refuse to apply for it. So I go back to workforce because now they're yelling, I don't have enough students on the WEA program, enough applicants for WEA. And I mean, it's a vicious circle because we don't work together and nobody shares.
Right.
When I say nobody, it's not me because I have a big mouth and I share everything.
High five.
Yeah, I mean, throughout the state, that's what you'll find. I mean,
yeah,
I will tell you that the workforce center out by where we're at.
Same thing, yeah.
Really hard to work with. You know, you try to get students, you send them over there, oh, well, we don't have the paperwork. They come back to the campus. I thought you were going to help us with, the tuition. I'm sorry, but you have to start at the workforce. We can't
right.
do it.
And a lot of times these customers don't understand that that's the process. That you have to start at the
paper.
At the workforce center, and you have to go through
I don't
their
understand
process
it. Oh, yeah.
for the... It's not
but we would refer them to the Workforce Center.
I know.
And they wouldn't help them.
Well, they can't come for all.
Yes, and so, I love it. I love to hear that. And I know
there's
that.
There's money for the first year.
It's only a 12-month program. I can tell you about the Workforce Investment Act, if that's what you want to know. Because it is only a 12-month program.
But overall, I mean, it's a difficult working process.
I know.
We don't
sounds
work
like
as a team.
Right. It really sounds like it. And, lucky that I stayed this afternoon because I can bring it back not only to my workforce center but to the workforce council and tell them that we have to, really reach out because we do have, I don't even know how many workforce centers, but every county has one, so
yes.
I assume there's somewhere between 12 and 18 workforce centers, and they all have local control,
right.
which means local, and so they're the ones responsible for building a relationship with you. Like I've extended myself here. I extend myself out to Denver, AB Works. So, I mean, it all depends. But the thing is that we don't do enough marketing. It's a well-kept secret because we have a lot of the same programs, but we don't share that. Mm-hmm.
because then I could physically walk over and take Carrie with me and say, and then when they say, I'm sorry, it's confidential, I'll say, they're right here, you can tell them. You know.
And it's in your campus? Is that what I'm hearing?
They're not in the campus. That's what I said. I would love to have.
Oh, we don't. I was saying, workforce development and the business aspect of our LCCC campus. So the non for credit side versus the for credit side. And that's why we have the division.
What's employment and what's academics is what you're talking about.
Yeah, and I will say again and again, who makes more money without the debt, probably?
Yeah, employment side.
And you need both.
And needs to be, the thing that I learned, employers don't care.
Right.
They want the credentials, they want the work, they want both. Yeah. And we get in these conversations about credit, non-credit, right. They glaze over. It's like, when you figure it out, come see us. They don't want to be in the middle of it.
Right.
So.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right.
Did you have a comment? This is a very common issue across the U.S. and the disconnect between community colleges and workforce centers, and something that DOL really wants us to fix. And the answer isn't the same, and it isn't necessarily easy, but a lot of good work is going on. This is a great example of what's happening with you at Red Rocks. So, and we're seeing that kind of development happen all over the place, is that people weren't aware so much before. I don't think that anybody put barriers up that said, we're not going to work with a community college, we're not working with workforce. It's just they didn't know necessarily what could become of that. And I think that we're changing some of those paradigms.
I mean, if we do fund an awful lot of students go to these community colleges.
Yes, you do. And you know what we found? We found in Pueblo that we were missing some funding for students, and the workforce said, you know, we're not spending a lot of this money that we have set aside. And PCC said, well, we didn't know about that. And the workforce said, well, we can't tell them about that until they apply for financial aid. Well, after they've already received their financial aid, they don't hear about workforce dollars. But they've already got dollars.
I know. The thing is that we're in addition to financial aid. We're not a supplement. So that's
not true. It could replace the loan. But see, the issue is that PCC students didn't know. And PCC faculty and staff didn't know to advise them in that direction. But now they do. Now they do.
I was just going to say, I mean, a financial aid, you have to have at least, 11 credit hours to get it. And the population we're talking about are not taking 11 credit hours. So workforce is a phenomenal tool, you know, and you get listed your program on the WIP or whatever it is, then they can fund you. So
because a lot of our certification programs don't qualify for funding.
Exactly.
I just want to make one comment, really, in defense of Quia. And one of the problems that we had at our community college, and I know that probably others do too, is in our institutional research, we have an official institutional research department, a lot of community colleges don't because they're not large enough. They were not able to track the employment that was required for WIA. And then, you know, we're pointing fingers, we're getting in trouble, and all these issues. So there was a disconnect with that data collection, which I think that we are starting to tackle with tact. So I think, you know, some of it was actually process that was a problem.
Quick question for you, Nancy. So in your program, do you actually create jobs? Or are you filling jobs?
We're filling jobs.
Okay.
Then does your state also have a CNA program or a core credit?
Yes.
CNA? Oh, yes. It has one?
Yes.
So there has to be an income eligibility or in order to be.
Not for our. Because
if I'm sorry, I still question.
The city's funding it. So all the things like to come through the workforce board, that there's income. Are you unemployed? Are you underemployed?
That's
18 years of age and the other things that I talked about. Yeah.
We basically took our semester-long credit program, smushed it into 4 weeks, and added a week of pediatrics training since Nationwide Children's is one of our partners.
We paid faculty to redesign, to take it and reformat it into four. So they come to class 9 to 3 for 4 weeks, and then we added a fifth week on to address the pediatric. Now, what I just learned in talking with the faculty, they're really spending the mornings on the pediatric piece and the afternoons reinforcing the skills. And so far, we've had, for both cohorts, 100% pass on the skill test and about a 90% pass on the written test. And then we're remediating. The first cohort we remediated, second time around they passed. We have one person, second cohort, that if she's willing to come back and remediate, we'll pay for her to take the test again.
So are you seeing a difference in the enrollment now for the 4 credit, which is going to be more expensive, the students have to pay?
You know, I haven't looked at that.
Because I think I read...
Well, but they're usually getting student financial aid for that.
Well, no, but I don't know whose it was, but the whole issue of 4 credit, non-credit, and then the employer really not caring. What is the incentive then for a student to sit for a whole semester and pay college credit versus to take an accelerated program and get paid? It was not one of the people here, but that became an issue for the college then competing within itself for CTE credits versus academic credits. And I don't know if that, you know, maybe it was another program that I read, but that becomes yet another thing for the institution to look very differently. And once you have academic versus CTE, it may be that the academic then holds the weight and all the good work that you make.
But most healthcare is accredited. You need a certification.
But you can get the certification without taking out
a credit course.
They just look for that certificate. They want the certificate. They don't care if you've done it.
The certificate that they, not that they completed the program, but they passed the test.
But I'm talking about a certification, you know, taking a test at the very end.
That's the STNA.
Yeah. Being certified as a CNA.
That's what this is.
But without credit. Now, I think the eligibility requirements kind of step in if you're not a citizen of Columbus, then we usually refer them, to the credit side for that semester.
And then the stackability is that if you then go to another level, that you'll get a credit.
You'll get credit. It'll be like credit for prior learning.
Yes.
Okay, can we do one word takeaway? You always got to reflect. And always make you reflect. Okay, one word, don't have to hold the balls. Just one word, real fast, go.
Overwhelming.
Yes, overwhelming.
Non-cognitive.
Cognitive. Mirror.
Don't
worry about it. Collaboration.
Advocacy.
We need
money,
nice.
Communication. Culture change.
Okay.
It works.
Even
after
work. Thanks. Excited. All right, good. We love work. Thanks. I just said, apparently you say. All right.
Logistically, we're about 15 minutes behind schedule. Sorry. So we were going to take a break. Okay, break. If we could do that in maybe 5 or 10 minutes instead of 15 and come back, and I will forgo some of my end-of-day stuff so that we can still end on time, okay? So 10 minutes at the most, come back. So get back here by 5:00, please.